Packers. We watch them play. When they score a touchdown, we shout to Ray.
Outside is Edgar Bennett. Here's Brett looking to the end zone. Brett dancing around. Brett to the end zone. Touchdown, Andre Rison. Got knocked down as he caught the ball, but he held on, and the Packers have gone out in front by two touchdowns. I'll tell you, another great play.
Ciao a tutti, nuova puntata di PFN, la numero 17, sperando che non porti sfiga. Io sono il Salvatore Ioppolo, con me Matteo Rubinato. Ciao Matt.
Ciao Sal.
Allora, oggi non siamo da soli, ormai abbiamo preso il gusto di questi ospiti internazionali. Oggi siamo molto contenti di avere con noi Scott Abitante, che è il capo, possiamo dire, dei tifosi dei Packers della California, giusto Matte?
Di Los Angeles, possiamo dire anche della California, possiamo dire.
Ma sì, diciamo tutta la California. È qui con noi e adesso faremo qualche domanda intanto su come è diventato tifoso dei Packers, e poi vedremo dove andremo a parare, insomma, come al solito.
Esattamente.
Hi Scott, thank you for being here.
Absolutely, thank you for inviting me.
So we briefly introduced you as a big Packer fan from Los Angeles, but would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, my name's Scott. I've lived out in Los Angeles since about 1985, so I've been here for most of my life. I live near Santa Monica, Venice area, and that's where I host my Packers group, and I run the Los Angeles Green Bay Packers out here, which has about 500 to 600 members, and I've been doing it since 2008, and that's how I met Matteo. He came out here to visit and looked us up, and we've been friends ever since.
Yeah, actually, I met you was 2011. I was there for my brother-in-law wedding, and I was lucky because the week before there was the Packers playing San Diego. And so I was able to go over there in San Diego. I think we won. We didn't win big because we scored a lot of points, but the San Diego scored a lot of points on us too. I think I remember. And we were 8-0 at that point of the season. And yeah. Then the following week I was able to go to Mom's Bar, that where Scott has the we can say headquarters of the LHZ group.
Yes.
And it's crazy. It's so funny for us because, you know, you have to understand, Scott, that football is not a big thing here in Italy. And for one of us, being over there and being in a bar and watching a Packers game with Packers fan, it's fun. It's fun. It's really fun, and I really enjoy being over there. Usually, we used to be just by ourselves, here, and think about there is a Monday night or Sunday night. There is 2:30 in the morning. We can even enjoy the game. We can even scream because we get to wake up mom or dad or wife and kid. So it's crazy. So if you want to talk something about the group, because I know that it's getting bigger and you have some big event coming up.
Yeah, like I said, the group started out in 2008, and it was basically it was me and this other guy, Pat, and we sat and watched the game together. The very first week of the very first day that I did this, it was me and Pat, and we sat there and watched the game. Not at 2:30 a.m. It was at 10 a.m. at a local bar, and we had a great time. And he had another friend, Pete, and Pete came along, and so it was me, Pat, and Pete the next week, and a couple other people found out about us. So soon there was, it was 5 people, 10 people, 12 people. By the end of the season, we had 30 people watching the game at the bar, and I started thinking, wow, there's a lot of Packers fans here. And I never knew, how big it was going to get, and it has exploded to the point where we've been on the news, on the local news, we've been in the newspapers, and now we have an event coming up. We have one of the Packers players, Davante Adams, who's the new up and coming receiver for the Packers, his number 3 receiver. He's going to come to the bar and hang out with us for a couple hours on July 19th. If any of you guys are in town.
We wish.
Are you going to fly out here for that?
Yeah, we were thinking about that.
Yeah. Let me know. I'll help you out with the ticket. I got $5 I can chip in.
That's amazing.
But, Yeah, so he's going to be down there, and just I've watched this group just explode into just all these amazing fans, and that's part of what brings us all together. Is everybody just has this just deep seated love for the Packers, and it kind of intertwines all of us, no matter if you're in the United States or if you're in Wisconsin or if you're in Italy.
Why you choose Packers?
I was about to ask you the same question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's an interesting question. Well, you know, I don't know how much you guys know. I mean, I'm sure some of your listeners don't know. I'm sure you guys know. Los Angeles doesn't have a team. The last time we had a football team here in Los Angeles was 1995. So I had, you know, I was, I'm not going to say how old I was, but I was, you know, a little older. So at that point in time, you know, I loved football. I was playing football in high school, and,
Which position? Which position?
I played wide receiver and special teams.
Okay.
I was a special teams captain. So that's like, you know, the punt kick, the field goal block, the field goal kick, kickoff, punt return, all that stuff. And then I played wide receiver as well. But I was never very good. That's why I watch it from a couch now with a beer. So you know, a few years after, you know, watching football and what really got me, and I started kind of watching the Packers where they started doing the Lambeau Leap, and I just love it. Was something about the interaction between the football players and their fans and how much they both loved each other, where they felt, I mean, it was unheard of to do that when Leroy Butler that did it.
Yeah.
And it was unheard of. I mean, it was absolutely unheard of. And this guy jumps into the stands, and instead of the fans, you know, groping him and trying to rip his helmet off, they patted him on the back and hugged him and, you know, and set him back down, and all the players started doing it. And after, you know, after a while, I was like, wow, these players love their fans. And it wasn't fake. It was a chemistry between the fans of the Green Bay Packers and the players. And they both loved each other. So I started watching it more and more, and that was when, you know, Brett Favre soon became the rookie phenom quarterback, and I just he just mesmerized me with what he pulled off, you know, throwing balls up into the air and people coming down with them and just extending plays like no other quarterback has been able to do, and I just over the years I grew more and more in love with them and how they interacted with their team and their players and it became a passion for me to the point where if it doesn't have a G on it, I don't buy it anymore.
Yeah, and why you choose moms?
Well, I actually started the group at another bar down the street from my house, which is very close. And it was called the Tattletale. And after a while, the group just got so big and it was a small little bar. It started to create problems with some of the regulars who didn't want to watch football on Sundays, which in my book, that's a sin.
Yeah.
So this other guy that I knew who owned a bar said, hey, why don't you do it at my bar? And he had a lot more room. It was a lot bigger. It fits about 100 and 150 people, which we do fill up on most Sundays. So it was just a bigger bar. It was a better bar. He was willing to work with me more. And that's how I ended up at Mom's.
Yeah, it's nice. And you know, Salvatore, that, yeah, but it's 10, it's late in the night for us, but it's 10 a.m. for them. So
yes.
it's kind of like early for start eating, drinking beer, and that's it. And
but here's the thing, to understand the Packers, you have to understand Wisconsin people. Wisconsin people start drinking at 8 a.m. and they drink till 2 a.m. So for Wisconsin people to drink it at 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m. is not a big deal. They usually have shot and killed and skinned their first deer by then. So
yeah, right now you have a food truck outside of the bar that you can have like a snack. You can get it's nice. It's really nice. So if you guys are around, please go there because yeah, it's fun.
Oh my goodness!
And I know, and it's funny because I think right now the bar is so full that you can't you have to leave people outside of the bar. I heard about that.
Yes. During the playoffs, yeah, there's definitely been times where we've had to turn people away. which this year or last year we started to expand to other bars. So if it gets too busy, people can go to other bars and go and watch the games there. One of the requirements that I have at Mom's Bar is that we don't play all the football games. I don't know if a lot of you guys are familiar with the format, but usually there's a 10 a.m. game, and they play half of the football games at 10 a.m. They play the other half at 1 p.m.
Yes.
Well, so there's about four, five, six football games going on at one time. But at Mom's Bar, we only allow the Packers because that's all we have room for. So we don't watch the other games. It's strictly Packers football.
Let us know something, because this year I was there for Detroit game. It was the last game of the regular season that you were not there.
That's right.
It was crazy. It was crazy. I was there. It was a great game with a great ending. Oh my God, it was crazy. I have a couple of videos about that game. But let us know what was the atmosphere for the Seattle game. We want to know that. We want to know.
Year?
For the Seattle game, for the championship game. We want to know how was there.
Well, first let me say the reason why I wasn't at the bar during the Detroit game is because I was in Lambeau. So I had a good excuse. I actually watched the game live in Lambeau Field.
I thought you were in Vegas, and you didn't tell me that.
Maybe I was in Vegas. I got to quit drinking, Mateo. Maybe I was in Vegas. I was definitely in Lambeau for one of the games. I thought it was that game, but maybe not. I could have been in Vegas. Oh, that was during Christmas, was it not?
Yeah, it was in Christmas.
I was in Vegas. My goodness.
Okay.
This is what Jägermeister does to you for the young kids that are listening. Don't drink Jägermeister. It's bad for you. So for the Seattle game, the playoffs, that was crazy. We had to turn people away. It was bursting at the seams. And the whole game, we dominated, and it was such a heartbreak at the end. I mean, you know, and even as we were watching the game, the last 6 minutes left, and we were, you know, some people started cheering like, "Oh, we got this!" And I kept telling people like, "Stop! You don't say anything yet." Wait.
I was one of them.
Oh yeah, I kept saying just wait because I know football and I know things can change. And just as you know, they scored their first touchdown, and we were like, okay, no problem. And then 2 minutes later, they scored another. Okay, all right, we still got that. And then after the turnover, that's when, you know, the mood kind of changed and everybody kind of started to become stoic and quiet. And it was, to this day, I hate talking about it. I mean, that was the biggest heartbreak of any sporting event I've ever seen. And it still upsets me to this day.
I remember I was quiet from the beginning to the end because at the start I wasn't gonna believe what was going on. I mean, we were dominating the game. We were absolutely the best team on the field.
Yeah, no one believed it.
I couldn't believe it.
No one.
Then
no one
things
believed it.
Started to change, and I thought, I mean, I can't believe this now. It was such a. I don't know really what to think yet about that game. It was amazing.
I got an argument with my wife. You know, yeah, really, because you know that Morgan Burnett intercepted the Russell Wilson for the fourth time. I think it was the fourth time, and it was like, go down, where are you going? Go down, and my wife was like, no, go, keep it going, keep running. No, go down, we have them. Don't worry,
Mateo.
Yeah, I know, and she was right.
Mateo, I'm gonna say this, and I'll never say it again. Your wife was right.
I know she was, and she kept repeating. You know what is the problem? We lost the game, and she kept telling me. You know, I know more than you.
Oh man!
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that. But yeah, that's why I'm not married.
Yeah. you will be soon, I think.
Yes, I know.
I think from what I see on Facebook,
so
I think so. Yeah.
Invited you. You and Salvatore can come to the wedding.
Yeah, well, don't...
Only if you're going to wear a Packer tie.
Well, is there any other kind of tie?
That's perfect. Okay.
Yeah.
We're in.
But yeah, after that game was over, man, I'm not kidding. And this is a true story. you know, everybody left. And Mattel, you've seen the group and the bonds that we have with each other, you know, when we go to the bar. And it was it's sad in a sense that we won't see each other again for another, you know, 7 months. So not only are you not going to be around your friends, I came home and I felt like I had broken up with a girlfriend. I mean, that was a feeling that I had. And I sat in my room for 2 days and pouted. And just sat there and was like, I can't believe we lost that game.
Yeah, we still can't believe. Yeah, because
it was heartbreaking.
Yeah, and you know what, Scott? This is the 17th episode, and me and Salvatore, we have an agreement, okay? And we started this podcast, okay? We're gonna talk about Seattle in this first episode, and we're not gonna talk about that anymore. And this 17th episode that we're talking about Seattle. So.
Every fucking time.
Every fucking time, yeah. Oh,
I have to agree with myself, and I can't keep it, so don't feel bad.
No. But, yeah, I knew your group, like, in 2011. I see your group in 2015, and I can say that it grew up a lot. So
best
compliment
crazy.
for you. Thanks. And I know that you make even some fundraiser, your speech at halftime, It is fun, and in a big town like LA, that it's like a small family, can enjoy the game. So
absolutely,
yeah, it's fun.
You know, at the end of the day, it's about, you know, sitting around watching a team you love with friends you love, and you know, I come from an Italian background, and it was, you know, it's all about family, and it's, you know, and that's what I've tried to create. I try to say hi to everyone and be friends with everyone, and it's hard to do when the group gets this big, but it's, you know, it's nice to sit around on Sundays and have drinks with your friends and watch a team that you love. I mean, there's nothing else like it in the world.
Yeah, definitely.
Are you going to have any trip to the training camp in late July or August, or just wait for the season?
No, usually we just wait for the season. As far as, you know, training camps and all that, most of the people, because of the internet, most of the people are exposed to it as much as they want to be. So as far as, you know, watching a preseason game, it's a little tougher to get people together.
Yeah.
But, you know, once the season starts, and actually, I don't know if you guys are aware, but there's going to be two or three games this season where the Packers are actually within, you know, which is far for you, but for us, 6 hours of driving, which is relatively short when you live in Los Angeles. So we were talking about going to see the they're playing the Oakland Raiders, they're playing the San Francisco 49ers, and then they're playing the Arizona Cardinals. So we were talking about having some trips to go do that during the season, but during the off season, it's not as. We still make posts. I try to keep the group live with, you know, current rumors and news and everything else. But we're not very active during the off season.
And from what you can tell, is there confidence for this upcoming season in your group?
Beyond confidence.
Yeah.
And you know, Salvatore, I got to say, every single year, I've said this is the year, and said it without meaning it, and this year I mean it. This is the year. We have offense. We have defense. We have one of the greatest teams put together in football in a very long time. And I think this year people are going to see some very exciting things.
I tend to agree. I mean,
yeah, there is a lot of confidence, even too much, probably. All around.
Yeah.
You have to agree that we have a great team. So
it's amazing.
That's a great year. And we'll see what's going to happen, hopefully.
Well, yeah, and you know, we have the greatest quarterback in the NFL, and we keep adding weapons to his arsenal. We keep adding weapons to the defense. We did a lot of, I know you guys are aware, we did a lot of changes this year on defense. We let go of A.J. Hawk and, you know, a couple other big names. And now we're, you know, it's not even a rebuilding period because we have guys behind them that have been training for the past 2-3 years that are ready to play. So, you know, and then add our draft to that, you know, we've added some good draft players. I'm excited to see what happens. And I'll tell you what, I can't wait to play the Seahawks again.
I'd be there.
Week two, you're gonna be here?
Yeah, I'll be in Lambeau.
Oh wow.
That's gonna be
incredible.
Hopefully. So let me ask you something. What is your take on Brett Favre? Did you break your heart too, and you forgive him?
The best way to explain Brett Favre and me is he is breaking up with a girlfriend. He was my heart and soul since I've been watching the Packers, and we had a bad breakup, and then 5 years later we met at a bar somewhere and made amends. That's how I feel about Brett Favre. So now I love him again. I'm excited to have him come back, and I think a lot of people are excited to have him come back. I think it's only right that we retire his number. No one else can wear that number 4, and that's the way in my heart. No, if someone else wears number 4, it'll never be the same again. And I think it's right that they're retiring it.
Yeah, I think it's fair. It's fair. And let me ask you that. You know, you already mentioned that there is no NFL team in LA right now, and there was in 85 the Rams, the Raiders, right?
95,
yeah. And now there is big talks about a team coming back to LA, probably already not this season, but the following season. So,
yeah, 2016.
So you live over there. So what's your insider?
I live fairly close to the areas. They were actually trying to do it in downtown LA, which I always thought was a bad idea. AEG, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they own Staples Center, which is where the Lakers play. They were trying to build a stadium downtown. They eventually, within the past 6 months, scrapped the whole entire idea because they were having too many issues. A lot of people were saying it'd be too congested, which is true. There's not really very good transportation, public transportation, like subways or buses to get over there. So it would have made it too congested. So now they're moving it south of where I live, south of Santa Monica, in a city called Carson, which is, I think, is a great area. It's a perfect area. It's very wide open. There's plenty of space. It's a good spot for a football stadium. And then there's also where the Hollywood racetrack used to be. They're talking about putting something in there. So they're right now, it's between Carson and the Hollywood Park area. And Hollywood Park is in Hollywood. Hollywood Park is near Inglewood, which I'm sure you've all heard of.
Yeah, the Forum, right?
Yeah, not the greatest area, but it's getting a little nicer. Carson, I think, would be a better choice because it's a little more open. It's easier to get to. It's right off the freeway. As far as a team, they're talking about the Oakland Raiders, the St. Louis Rams, and the San Diego Chargers. If I had to pick one, I'd take the Chargers just because the fans are a little more desirable. Oakland Raiders fans, no thank you. it's not a great crowd. But the Rams, I wouldn't mind. They were here before. If you were going to pick an LA team, the Rams would be your best bet because they were here before. This is their home. This is where... You know, this is where they started. I think it'd be a good place for them to come back to. The Chargers, I think, would bring in you know, a lot of fans, but I think that they belong in San Diego. San Diego needs a football team, and it would be a great rivalry if they, you know. The only reason I would like it, to be honest, is because once every 4 years I get to watch the Packers play them, you know, nearby.
Yeah.
Your backyard. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I think the NFL has to come back to LA because LA is a big market, okay? And you have to care about making money, of course. And so you have to come back. But from what I know, I can say that I know a little bit about LA since I've been there many times, and I don't see like a big football town. I don't see like a lot of NFL jersey, or I see a lot of NFL jersey or different team like Packers, Chargers, Raiders, San Francisco. So do you think this time the NFL, if it come back, is going to be the time? It's not going to move away anymore.
I think if they come back, it'll probably be permanent because LA, like you said, is such a big market. You know, I think that there's plenty of fans here that are waiting for a team. But also the problem is a lot of fans in LA, such as myself, have picked other teams already. I don't know how the loyalty is going to go with other players. I'm never going to cheer for anyone but the Packers. So I don't know how everyone else feels about that, but I think if there's a team here, there's so many people that would be newly exposed to going to a football game that I think there's enough fandom to go around. I think that it'd be a good idea as far as that goes because the market's here. I mean, it's one of the biggest sports markets in the United States. Why not put a football team here?
Yeah.
And do you think they're also going to have a franchise in London in the near future?
They've been talking about that, and I don't know if you're familiar, but they did try to start one many years ago. They had the English Football League, European Football League.
Yeah, there was the one, NFL Europe, yeah. I think it was.
Yeah, and it kind of fizzled out. And I think, Goodell, who was in the commissioner back then, he's trying to reestablish that now. So I don't know what's going to happen with London. I think if they pick up a team and move them out there, it's not going to be well received because people in the United States won't like that. But I think that if they start a brand new franchise out there or two and have teams go out there and play a couple weeks out of the year, I think it's possible. It could work. But the problem is, you know, as you know, in Europe, you know, Italy, England, in Europe in general, soccer, as you call it, football, is such a big sport that I don't know if it can over, you know, I don't know if there's room. What would you guys think?
Well, I actually think that the problem with NFL Europe, I think it was a decade ago, was that mainly practice squad players came to play in Europe. So there wasn't this, there weren't great players that came and play here so that the fans would show up to the stadium to watch them. Mm-hmm. And it was a kind of developmental league and nobody cared. But they started a franchise or two, and I think the United Kingdom or Germany would be quite good spot for two franchises. I think people would show up.
I hope this idea doesn't work out. I think NFL belong to United States. It doesn't make sense outside the United States. You want to make a couple of games in London, okay. You want to play the Jaguars and the Lions, that to bad team in London, it's okay. I'm going to probably see them if the Packers are going to play in London. I don't think a franchise is going to make any sense about that. That's what I think, but it's... I don't count a lot, so it's just my idea.
Yeah.
So,
I don't think it'll happen in the next 2 years. And I think part of the romance of going to England or going to Italy or going to Spain is that soccer is so prominent there. When as an American, when I go there, I enjoy seeing that side of the culture because I already know football, but it's nice to see these. You know, it's nice to see, you know, the English Premier League and how they, you know, how they play and interact with their fans and how their fans go crazy like we do over the Packers. And this is the thing that kind of bothers me about that, and I kind of agree with you, Mateo, is we don't need to colonize NFL to any other countries. I think if people want to watch it, they'll watch it. They'll find a way to watch it in other countries. If we force it on everyone else, I don't think it's going to be as big of a hit. I think if they do it, it'll happen in the next 4 years, and they'll get a team or two out there, and people will complain, and it'll fizzle out.
Yeah, I agree. And you saw that you have more questions to.
I was about to ask before. What does he think about Mike McCarthy? I mean, we kind of. Love to hate him because we think he could have done more over the last few years with that great quarterback that he has. What do you think?
You know, I think that, and I don't know if you guys read the Packers website at all. There's a gentleman named Vic Ketchman who writes a lot of articles for the Packers. And he always says, you know, players, not plays. And you can't – if you look at what Mike McCarthy's done – over the past several years, The problem here, the big problem is that Packers fans are spoiled. We're used to winning. We've won since 1996. We've been winning. And before that, we were winning in the 50s and the 60s. We're very spoiled as far as fans go. We don't have, you know, if we have a rough patch, it's a year or two in the past three decades. We haven't, you know, and I think what Mike McCarthy's done is he's put together and managed a great team, and he's managed some amazing wins. He has a winning percentage. He's a – I don't know if you're aware of this. During the 2010, before the Super Bowl, he had his whole team go out and get fitted for rings, for Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how confident he was. And I think that type of leadership is what the Packers need, and I think a lot of coaches don't do that. As Mike McCarthy goes, I think he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. I think that we lose certain games – not because of coach management. I think it's the players. The players don't execute how they're supposed to execute. So you can't really blame Mike McCarthy for not winning. He puts the game in their hands. The game's already set by the time he gets to the field. Once you get to the field, it's up to the players. So it's yeah. as far as Mike McCarthy goes, I think he's done a wonderful job. I love him. I mean, you know, and we've had a string of great coaches. And we've had a string of great quarterbacks, and I think Packers fans, you know, in general need to understand that we've been very fortunate with these great coaches and great quarterbacks, because if you look at a team like the Browns or the Dolphins, I mean, they're just, you know, that's tough being a fan.
Yeah, probably right. But, it's kind of, I think because, especially in Italy, we have three teams that every other year they win the championship, okay? And just it's rare that some other team can win. So we think that winning is easy. And in NFL, where every team has the same kind of money, the same salary cap, that is an American thing that we don't have in Europe, okay? We think that the winning is easier than it is, because the other team is there to win too. So
absolutely, and you have to realize the United States with NFL football, it's the reason why they have the salary caps and the reason why they have all these rules is because they don't want the same teams winning every year. So if you're looking at a team that's been around, you know, since, you know, the, you know, 1919, and they have a history of winning, and up until, you know, the rules changes of, you know, 70, and it was 75, they're, ever since, you know, the free player agency, it's hard to keep a team together. And the Packers have managed to do that over the past 30 years. I mean, it's really hard. And we don't deflate footballs. So that shows you right there how amazing we are.
I know. We should tell something about Seattle, but there is kind of big hate here against Seattle and about Pete Carroll and the thing that we don't know what they take. But
yes.
we can see that money doesn't buy a championship, at least.
No. Look what's happening in Seattle right now. Everybody wants to get paid millions of dollars.
Yeah, exactly.
All of a sudden.
Exactly.
And so
imploding. I can't wait for that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, Marshawn Lynch almost left last year because of money. Russell Wilson's having trouble because of money. Bennett now.
Yeah, Michael Bennett. More.
And it's the Packers somehow have managed to keep their players happy and pay them the salaries that they can afford, and part of the reason why I think that's possible is because it's such a great organization that people want to play for the Packers. And, you know, these guys are playing in 0-degree weather, and they love it. And it really tells you something about the Packers organization.
Yeah. And money doesn't buy a championship. Otherwise, Dodgers would have won. In the last 3 years. So,
heartbreaker.
I know you like the Dodgers
heartbreaker.
Too. And I don't think this year is the year either. So.
Yeah, they're not playing very well. My girlfriend and I are very big Dodger fans. I actually work for the Dodgers. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I work for the Dodgers TV channel.
Oh, okay. Cool.
They have their own TV channel out here, and I do work for them, and it's heartbreaking to watch, and it's for all the money that's put in, it's hard to watch them not win every single game. Luckily, there's 162 of them.
Okay.
So I have a question for you guys. Here's my question for both of you. How did you become Packer fans, and more so, how did you become NFL fans?
Oh, go Salvatore.
Okay. I think it was about, it was 2000, it was 16. And I went to a video game store and wanted to buy a new video game for my PS2, I think it was back then. And exactly. I didn't even know what that was. I mean, I thought it was rugby. So I bought the game home and I really didn't understand a thing about the game. But I noticed this beautiful jersey, green and gold, and I said, this is a pretty good jersey. Let's start with playing with this team. And it stuck with me. I mean, the internet was kind of lame back then, so I didn't know anything about the team, its history, etc. But I liked the jersey, and once the internet grew, I was able to find more about the team, and I absolutely loved it.
Wow.
And here I am.
That's amazing.
So it was a kind of, I don't know how it started. It was like by video games, I think it was like, for me it was Sega Mega Drive, that in America was Sega Genesis, I think it was.
Yeah. You're older.
Yeah, I'm older. Uh-huh. And I love to play, it was Joe Montana football, I think. And yeah. I didn't have a favorite team because they were showing, you were not able to watch NFL here, but I think you were able like in early 80 or early 90, I think you were able. Then I didn't have the pay TV here. And then when I got the pay TV, when we got the cable, okay, and I started watching, and I like it, I keep watching, but I didn't have a favorite team, so I was kind of going for the Raiders, because it was black and white, like my favorite soccer team, Juventus, okay, and yeah. I knew that my favorite soccer player was Alessandro Del Piero, like the Raiders, and I was lucky, it changed my idea. And I
yes,
think
that was the best decision you've ever made.
I think it was because of Brett Favre. And yes. I think I remember the game he actually played in Oakland. I think I saw the news. I fell in love with this player that broke my heart. Okay, and the first memory I have about the Packers, it was like the 4th and 26. So it's not a good memory.
Oh, yeah.
And then you know with internet and this is now it's easier to keep you updated about what happened in the other part of the world, and it started getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and now it's most more football than soccer. That was kind of crazy for me because earlier was just almost soccer, just soccer.
Wow. So how easy is it for you guys to go and watch your game if you want to go to, say, a local bar? Do they play the games there?
No, actually, no.
You have to watch online.
You have to watch online, right? Or you have like a cable. And they showing like last year we were lucky, but I think they were showing like 4 game per week. I think Salvatore, right? Sunday night,
yeah.
Monday night, Thursday night, and the late afternoon game.
Okay.
Or you had to make the NFL Game Pass. That's what I do. But this year it got more expensive. I think I'm gonna make it again because I want to watch it. But you got the NFL Game Pass, so you can watch every game you want whenever you want.
Oh wow.
So that's
well.
Not,
that's good.
Yeah. No. If you go to a bar and ask, oh, I'd like to watch a football game. They look at you. I, a kid. Are you crazy? You know. Here, usually they talk about football just for the Super Bowl. Okay, and you can see some dummy news about that, like who has the biggest boobs in the commercial, something like that. Okay, so,
every time a player gets arrested.
Yeah, or when the player gets arrested.
That's
when the player.
That's always big news. Yeah. So Matteo, your job is to get a bar to be able to watch the Packer games in Italy. That's your next step.
I was actually thinking about the same thing at the start of the conversation where you described your situation with the bar there.
Yes.
I thought we should definitely do something like this.
I think we go broke here, Salvatore, I think.
I'm already broke.
Trust me.
No problem.
It makes me poor during the football season.
Okay, so thanks a lot, Scott, for being
Thank
here with
guys.
Us.
Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, really, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. And if someone listened to us and are in LA during the NFL season, stop at Mom's Bar. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Absolutely. Come by. I like my fellow Paisan, so.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here, and of course you're invited to join us whenever you want.
Yes,
just tell us.
I'm going to show up on your doorstep next week, so be
whenever,
ready.
Whenever you want, you're welcome.
I'll buy you some Jägermeister.
There you go. Oh, jeez, that's a bad night. Gentlemen, thank you very much. It was great talking to both of you, and I hope to see both of you soon.
Okay, thanks a lot.
That's all.
Bye.
All right, guys.
Thank you. Bye bye. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Eccoci qua, Matte. Gran personaggio, Scott?
Sì, guarda, io l'ho conosciuto di persona ed è forte. Cioè, poi ti fa sempre dire a tuo agio, proprio, anche se non l'avevo mai visto, l'ho trovato in bar, ci ha fatto due parole. No, una bella persona, sinceramente.
Si è anche invitato al suo matrimonio, quindi, insomma.
Il problema del biglietto d'aereo, però, a parte quello, vabbè, è tutto risolvibile, comunque.
Ah, sì, dai. Beh, comunque, speravo di non avere notizie da dare neanche oggi, in realtà invece qualcuno ha trovato il modo di far parlare di sé durante il weekend del 4 luglio, quel deficiente lì.
Andrew Quarles!
Che imbecille.
Ah, ma lo facciamo, se passate dall'inglese all'italiano così noi...
Ma sì, ma noi, cioè, se vuoi cominciate con un po' di latino, dialetto calabrese, non c'è problema.
Ok, vai. Dì qualcosa di Quarles, perché io ho seguito... qualcosa, non tantissimo, però commento tecnico, poi lasciato da è un gran coglione, si può dire,
esatto.
Sinceramente. Proprio.
No, praticamente il gran fenomeno, che ricordiamo è da 6 anni nell'NFL, quindi non è un rookie che è appena arrivato non sa come ci si dovrebbe comportare, era a South Beach, Miami, Florida, quindi diciamo che la Florida porta sfiga ai giocatori dei Packers, anche visto Guyon prima. E, niente, ha avuto un alterco, come si suol dire, con una macchina piena di donne alle 5:30 di mattina, quindi potevi andare a letto prima, ragazzo. E a un certo punto ha avuto la bella idea di tirar fuori la pistola e di sparare un colpo in aria e un colpo per terra. Così, una delle donne che è stata interrogata dalla polizia ha detto che lo faceva per dimostrare la sua superiorità di uomo.
Superiorità di testa di cazzo.
Quindi è stato arrestato. La cosa che diceva Jason Wilding è che questo tipo di reato, cioè l'utilizzo di una pistola in pubblico, non è un reato penale in Florida, ma è solo un misdemeanor, che non so come tradurre sinceramente, comunque è un'accusa
sì.
Di quelle meno gravi, insomma.
Esatto, sì, poi se in Florida, se in altri stati invece fosse molto più grave, quindi
sì,
dipende
anche nello stesso Wisconsin, per esempio, sarebbe stato un reato penale. Quindi diciamo che comunque non rischia tantissimo per quanto riguarda dal punto di vista penale / legale, però sappiamo bene che l'NFL su queste cose qua ultimamente, giustamente per quanto mi riguarda, è abbastanza severa. E, per dire, se ci metti in mezzo questa strozzata con la pistola, che tra l'altro dopo ha cercato di nascondere dentro una pianta e di scappare, quindi sei ancora più pirla, Andrew. E l'altra cosa dell'alterco con la donna, quindi violenza verbale, se vuoi, nei confronti di una donna, ci sono possibilità, secondo me, che si vada a una sospensione abbastanza sostanziosa, ecco.
Sì, mi sa anche a me, sinceramente. Guarda, io ho seguito poco, anche perché sinceramente non lo so, non è che mi interessasse più tanto, più di sentire una storia del genere, si mi commenta da solo, però secondo me è un caso molto più grave di quello di Guyon, questo qui, dal punto di vista della NFL. È giusto o sbagliato che sia, ognuno ha la sua idea, proprio per quanto riguarda il fatto dello sceriffo Goodell, ma qui almeno 4 partite le rischia di saltare il buon Andrew.
Sì, credo di sì. E, tra l'altro, guardavo, ho visto un link, in pratica c'è un sito che tiene traccia di tutti i giocatori NFL che vengono arrestati. che è una cosa che effettivamente tiene abbastanza impegnati perché ce ne sono un sacco. Giocatori dei Packers arrestati dal 2000 in poi sono 20. Ci sono Amon Green, Amar Carroll, Nick Barnett due volte, Eric Walden, che è uno degli ultimi, mi pare, a parte quelli di quest'anno, appunto, Gaion, ovviamente quest'anno, Jared Bush, che era nel periodo in cui in realtà era free agent, Johnny Jolly ben tre volte, perché lui, sai. E poi ci sono Brandon Underwood, Marco Rivera, Mark Shmura, andando indietro. Quindi
Ah, che smura?
è stato arrestato per...
Ah.
Vado a memoria perché non me lo sono segnato, ma era
Ah.
particolare, nel senso aveva tentato di convincere una 17enne a bere per poi farsela, fondamentalmente.
Che
Poi non so
poi
se...
niente di male se non sei in America, poi
Io, per non saperne leggere né scrivere, mi sono andato a guardare il suo cap number su Over the Cap. Quest'anno lui a cap prende 1,75 milioni di dollari e se venisse tagliato, la dead money sarebbe solo di 175 mila dollari. Per cui si risparmierebbe 1,5 milioni fondamentalmente, quindi
Sì,
dal punto
però
di vista economico...
sì, però dall'altro punto di vista saremo senza tight end in questo momento, perché rimarremo come in paracolo con Regis Rodgers, Justin Perillo e la Kenneth Bachman, mi pare si chiami
Sì.
la
E
stessa scelta che sa.
poi ci sono i due undrafted che sono Mitchell Harry, mi pare che si chiami Mitchell, cioè Harry si chiama Harry, però di nome penso Mitchell, e l'ultimo segnato Spears.
Ah, cioè non proprio Antonio Gates e Jimmy Graham, insomma.
Sì, Antonio
Quindi.
Gates che anche lui è finito nei casini perché alla fine della settimana scorsa, mi pare giovedì, è stata venuta fuori la notizia della sospensione di Dayton Jones per una stagione,
Sì,
quindi
per
per una
una
stagione,
partita.
per una partita.
Sì, che poi ha fatto una. Cioè, veramente la sospensione di Dayton Jones, da un certo punto di vista, fa ridere, sinceramente, perché alla fin fine, forse perché non è la prima volta che ci fosse un beccato per una cosa legata alla marijuana, però voglio dire, alla fin fine non era molto relativa, però a quel punto o decidi di avere la mano dura e allora li cacci fuori sempre. Però, cioè, voglio dire, se fosse stato in Colorado, penso non sarebbe neanche stato citato.
Sì, tra l'altro lui in pratica è sempre tirato fuori da Jason Wilde, ha preso una multa per possesso di marijuana il 19 gennaio, che è il giorno dopo la sconfitta di Seattle, quindi chi è che non si sarebbe ammazzato dei canne il giorno dopo?
Esatto.
Sempre giovedì sono stati sospesi anche Antonio Gates per 4 giornate e questo tra l'altro per doping, perché sostanze che modificano la prestazione sportiva, insomma, tradotto. Partiamo con la nostra meravigliosa rubrica, cosa dici? Vuoi aggiungere qualcosa tu?
Assolutamente no.
No, vabbè, allora partiamo con la rubrica. Abbiamo la sigla, che è quella che avevo usato in coda nell'ultima puntata, per cui non è la fine, ma l'inizio del segmento. Non andate via. Arriviamo.
This is a club that's going to hit you. They're going to try to hit you, and you're going to take it out. Just hit, just run, just block, and just tackle. You do that, there's no question what the answer is going to be in this ball. Keep your poise. There's nothing that they can show you out there. You have to face a number of times, right?
Allora, il giocatore di oggi è il numero 17, appunto il 17 come la nostra puntata, Cecil Isbell. Io penso che si pronunci così. Ha giocato come tailback nei Packers dal 1938 al 1942. È stata la settima scelta assoluta da parte dei Packers nel draft del 38, è stato campione NFL già nel 39 con i Packers. È stato 2 volte leader per quanto riguarda i touchdown lanciati nell'NFL nel 41 e nel 42, così come passing yardage sempre nel 41 e nel 42. È membro della Hall of Fame dei Packers e della College Football Hall of Fame. Non è un Hall of Famer, semplicemente, probabilmente, perché ha giocato molto poco in NFL, cioè soltanto 5 anni appunto, dal 38 al 42, e lui ha motivato questa scelta dicendo di volersi ritirare nel momento più alto della carriera e di non venire tagliato o sopportato malvolentieri dal coach verso la fine della carriera, che era un po' quello che invece era successo a Ernie Herber, di cui avevamo parlato nella scorsa puntata. E ritiratosi dall'NFL, ha allenato il suo college, quindi Purdue. In realtà lui, se avesse giocato di più, probabilmente sarebbe nella Hall of Fame perché aveva dei numeri in quanto a yards lanciate, touchdown completi, intercetti, che erano probabilmente anche superiori a due passatori Hall of Famer della sua epoca, che erano Sammy Baugh di Washington e Sid Luckman dei Chicago, beh, di Chicago, insomma, non so se erano i Bears o qualcos'altro, probabilmente i Cardinals. Era un passatore molto preciso, lanciava pochi intercetti per gli standard dell'epoca, e di lui Carly Lambo ha detto è il miglior passatore che abbia mai visto. E lui era ancora un tailback, perché all'epoca le formazioni erano abbastanza differenti, non c'era ancora la T-formation da cui poi è nato il vero e proprio quarterback, che tra l'altro appunto è stata una formazione che è stata introdotta negli anni 40, e i primi due quarterback propriamente detti sono stati appunto Sammy Baugh e Sid Luckman. E mentre invece giocando con la Notre Dame Box di Carly Lambo, lui faceva il tailback, che era il primo giocatore a prendere la palla in mano e poteva correre oppure lanciare, ma così facendo prendeva anche molti colpi, subiva molti placcaggi, e anche questo ha fatto sì che la sua carriera si accorciasse. Perché la formazione, la T-formation, che è stata introdotta appunto nel 40, invece prevedeva che fosse il quarterback a prendere il pallone dal centro, perché il quarterback come ruolo c'era già, soltanto che era appunto ad un quarto della distanza tra il centro e il primo giocatore in piedi, che in questo caso era il tailback, e veniva chiamato quarterback proprio per questo, ma non era il primo giocatore a ricevere la palla, poteva riceverla successivamente o magari bloccare. Però una cosa particolare è che nel 42 lui lanciò 24 TD pass, di cui 17 per Don Hudson. È rimasto il record di squadra per quanto riguarda un passatore dei Packers fino al 1983, quando questo record venne battuto da Lynn Dickey. Mentre invece tra il 40 e il 42 lanciò almeno un touchdown in 23 partite consecutive, record che venne poi battuto solo nel 1958 da Johnny Unitas. Per cui un giocatore coi controcazzi, insomma, un grande
Tanta roba.
passatore. Tanta
Io
roba,
non
sì.
conoscevo, però veramente tanta roba.
Sì, allora, spero di essere stato abbastanza chiaro in questa mia breve descrizione di Israel. Tu cosa dici?
Sì, detto delle cose che non conoscevo, molto molto interessanti, sinceramente. Adesso secondo me possiamo dare l'annuncio della la bomba. No,
Vai.
è merito tuo, l'hai beccato te sabato, quindi è tuo, dai.
Allora, come saprete se avete visto Facebook, Twitter, qualsiasi cosa probabilmente. IPFN era media accreditato al 35esimo Italian Bowl, Italian Super Bowl, non so come lo vogliano chiamare. Voi direte che cosa c'entra un podcast sui Packers al Super Bowl italiano? Beh, noi siamo andati perché ci piace il football, purtroppo Matteo non è venuto, io parlo in plurale maiestatis ormai. Oltre che per il fatto che ci piace il football, sto continuando a parlare in plurale maiestatis, non c'è un cazzo da
Vai,
fare.
vai, sì, ma
Vabbè, ormai
giusto.
continuo. Ma anche per fare quello che si dice networking, cioè per conoscere della gente da magari insomma stalkerizzare un attimo e convincere a venire nel podcast. Allora, il primo che abbiamo convinto a venire ospite del nostro podcast è stato Enrico Mambelli, il presidente dell'IFL, quindi della Italian Football League, che è un manager di fama internazionale. Io non lo conoscevo sinceramente, ma è stato amministratore delegato di Nike in Italia, di un sacco di grandi compagnie. Ha giocato football negli anni 80, gli è rimasta questa passione, era anche discretamente forte da quanto mi hanno detto, per cui ha accettato volentieri di venire ospite da noi. Non parleremo di Packers, anche perché ha detto di essere tifoso dei 49ers, però
Se
parleremo di football, delle sue idee per lo sviluppo del football in Italia, quindi sarà interessante comunque.
avete delle domande, infatti postatele e cercheremo di farne, insomma.
Per cui venerdì, quindi, puntata con Mambelli, penso che sia la prima volta in assoluto in cui diciamo così tanto in anticipo quando ci sarà la puntata successiva.
Sì, speriamo bene, infatti.
Sì. Però la 17 era questa, per cui la 18 dovrebbe andare bene. E
Beh.
niente, a parte questo, noi siamo abbastanza carichi per questo. Poi in realtà il networking è continuato a tutto tondo, ma per le prossime ospitate vi diciamo più avanti, insomma, dai.
Esatto, bravissimo, bravissimo.
Niente, allora noi ci aggiorniamo a venerdì. Se avete domande, scrivetecele pure, altrimenti, niente, seguiteci. Boh. Ciao a tutti, ciao Matti.
Ciao Sal, mi dispiace, avete sentito vicini di casa mio figlio e mia moglie oggi durante il podcast. Speriamo che...
No, invece ti vedo, perché io sono chiuso dentro una stanza da solo, sto morendo dal caldo. Per cui...
No, vabbè, dai, buona serata, grazie mille a tutti e a presto.
Go back go, ciao.
Times must we take this disgrace? Another Bears fan throwing insults in our face. The Packers are the greatest team to ever play the game, even if from time to time they've been a little lame. How could you ever love a team with Jim McMahon? Not even Porky Pig was as big a ham. They got a reputation that's mostly based on luck. The Bears still suck. 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 They really, 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 really suck. Yes, the Bears still suck. Soldier Field, they make you pay a toll. For cripes sake, they only won one lousy Super Bowl. They make fun of Wisconsin, but we don't get upset. Where do you think that they're all headed every chance they get? We don't really hold a grudge, cause this is all in fun. As far as football rivalries, we're both number one. Still, we wouldn't mind seeing Ditka run over by a truck, cause the Bears still suck. 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 They really, 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 really suck. Yes, the Bears still suck. All the ladies now.
Suck. They really, 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 really suck. Yes, the Bears.